What's up, everyone? We're back. Welcome to Dr. Lee Unhinged.
Dr. Maxfield over here.
And Dr. Shaw on the mic. And today we'll start out as usual with our life updates. That's really for Dr. Maxfield and I to just catch up.
Yeah, it is.
And for all of you to catch up with us. Then we're going to be talking about The Bachelor, Bachelor Nation. I don't know if Bachelor Nation is on this a podcast listeners of ours, but specifically gives us the opportunity to talk about jaundice and yellowing of the eyes that can occur and what happens with that. And then we're going to be talking about Michael Cera's Super Bowl commercial and how it relates to CeraVe. And then we're going to be talking about an exciting trip that we have planned to San Diego. So let's get started.
Yeah. So the most interesting thing I want to hear about, of course, is your life updates. You've had a huge week, a busy week. How has it been for you?
Yeah. So we kind of soft launched the brand. So Remedy is coming. As many of you know, it's going to be our skincare brand. And the formulas truly are revolutionary. So I'm super excited to roll those out. We launched the headbands this week. And a lot of excitement for those. The challenge is that we only launched them on TikTok and Instagram Shop, which turned out to be like a nightmare strategically. A lot of the orders were rejected in the system. It actually went a lot smoother on TikTok Shop, but on Instagram Shop, like if your credit card payment didn't match correctly with your records, like they would just ultimately deny the transaction. So hundreds of people had their transactions denied. And so we got a couple of messages about that. So that was not smooth, but overall, we sold out of the headbands. We ordered second stock for people to have for our ultimate launch, which should be coming hopefully end of March, mid-March time period. So be on the lookout for the actual brand launching and the products, which I think even more of you will be excited about. So that was the main thing. I'm just trying to figure out how to run this website, but the products are phenomenal. So I'm excited to introduce those in a few weeks.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that's awesome. I saw that you sold out of the headband, so I was excited about that. And I also saw exactly what you talked about, that the ordering was a problem. So, well, I was watching your stories and I was like, oh man, this has got to be stressful.
Yeah, it's a little bit stressful, but like I didn't feel that stressed because it was just headband launch, right? Like which has kind of made me glad that we soft launched the brand instead of launching it fully and then running into these problems later on. Because now I'm wondering, even with the brand launch, whether I would even list it on Instagram Shop right out the gate. And it could be something that we roll out later for ease of shopping, but I think for the launch, we'll probably just launch it on Shopify through our website so that, you know, it's easier for people to purchase and not run into so many difficulties. So so that was just a learning lesson. So I'm kind of glad we did it this way, but at the same time, you know, it didn't go as smoothly as I wanted.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Super excited for the real products to drop though. People are going to be, I'm really excited to see people's reactions about it. And then also, of course, months down the road, see the results on people's skin from it. It's going to be pretty extraordinary.
That's to me going to be the most exciting thing. Yeah. Is the results 3 months down the line, 2-3 months down the line, when the feedback starts coming in. That's going to be super exciting to me, where people hopefully love the products. Our results are really good in our clinical studies, but you know, until you get them into a lot of people's hands, you know, you never know what people's perceptions are going to be. So that's going to be exciting, getting that feedback and the reviews coming in.
Nice. Yeah. Super stoked. Yes. For my life, not too much. Actually, that's not true. It's a lot, but not too much I can share. I've just been putting some sweat equity into some things we're growing, building. We'll announce that sometime later. It's something Dr. Sean and I also are doing. And then additionally, do you know what the word, so you teach me a lot of words on these videos. Do you know what the word tilted means?
Yeah. Okay, of course. Tilt is a word that comes from gambling.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. So, yeah, tilting, for all of you like me who don't know these things, you lose basically and you sequentially lose. Like you get into this like frenzy of I got to win it back. So for those of you who are following, I need to start making some chess videos so you guys can actually watch me. I'm getting to a point where it might be enjoyable. But anyway, so I started like 700 like 6 months ago. I'm peaked. Actually, I'm at my peak rating now of 1,260. So I'm like entering the true intermediate range. Mm-hmm. But I got to a point right during my vacation. I lost like 4 games in a row and I just couldn't win. I couldn't win. So anyway, no one cares, but I like dropped 100 ELO. For those of you who play chess, that's actually pretty significant. I couldn't get it back, but I totally tilted, took a break, just went back to like learning and my courses and all this stuff. Then I went back to playing, and over the course of the next couple of weeks, finally got back up to my rating. But yeah, chess content is going to definitely drop. I feel like once I get to 1500, I can meaningfully speak about my games while I'm playing it and like actually provide some value other than just like me learning and you learning along with me. But anyway, that's like the most enjoyable thing of my life. I haven't been able to surf because the weather's been like rainy and windy here and the water's flat. So that's not a part of my life at the moment.
I love it. Yeah. That's super interesting. And yes, tilt is a very real thing. It comes from gambling, ultimately, like where people start losing and then they actually start making irrational decisions. That's like what being on tilt is you do things that you wouldn't normally do strategically in gambling when you start to lose because you're trying to get it back. And so it's basically when you get into that state of panic where you start making bad decisions, we call that tilt. And that's how people lose all their money when they're gambling. And I think it happens in life in general. When you start taking a lot of L's, you start to actually do things you would never normally do in order to like get at least one W. And so, you know, it's something that I think everyone should be aware of, but it's a normal psychology thing.
Yeah, that's a huge life lesson. If you're tilting, if that's happening to you, take a break, take a step back, just like refocus, come back and do it. Chess, gambling, which you probably shouldn't be doing, and then life in general. So the first thing we're actually going to talk about today, maybe you should introduce this because this is one of those e-Hollywood TV show things that I'm coming in behind the curve on.
Yeah, so Joey Graziadei, I think that's how you say his name. He is the current Bachelor on season 28 of The Bachelor. And I'm not very, and you know, we've talked about this before. I'm not very interested in commenting on, you know, celebrities or celebrity drama, even celebrity medical conditions, unless the celebrity talks about it themselves. And then from a medical education perspective, I'm happy to weigh in because then it becomes relevant. It's kind of like when we got to talk about Merkel cell carcinoma, you know, a lot of people were interested in the topic. So it's always an opportunity when there's some type of popular event that occurs that we can then talk about the medicine behind it. So since he came out yesterday and talked about it, we're able to kind of now talk about it. So initially, the reason why this became a topic of concern is because Joey on The Bachelor had a little bit of yellowing of his eyes. We call this scleral icterus, and this is a sign of jaundice. And a lot of people were wondering, does he have jaundice? Does he have issues with his liver? Is he drinking too much? And all these questions like that. So he came out and he said, I actually have Gilbert syndrome. And so this gives us an opportunity to talk about Gilbert syndrome and essentially yellowing of the eyes and why this can happen. So so he has Gilbert syndrome is the current event.
Now, did he know he had Gilbert syndrome before this, or did like people start comment? Because it can be subtle. So, or did people start commenting like, "Hey, buddy, you got yellow eyes. What's going on?" And then he dug into it, or is this something he already knew?
No, it sounds like it's separate from the show. Like before he got on the show, he knew that he had Gilbert syndrome. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's an aside. I was just wondering if this, because that happens too. People see some TV, they comment, and the person who's actually on the television is like, "Oh, really?" And then they look into it. So, Gilbert syndrome. The liver is involved in the production of like bilirubin, and depending on its production, conjugation, non-conjugated, it circulates throughout the blood to different levels, and it can cause things. It's like a marker for a lot of different things. In this case, like where we'll encounter this during our medical training is actually typically either in our study of pediatrics or neonates or adult individuals with new onset jaundice. And jaundice has a unique feature of involving the white part of the eyes, the sclera, whereas that natural tanning that was going around from eating carrots, keratinemia, this does not. That actually spares the sclera, and that's like a distinguishing feature there. But Gilbert is actually a pretty common condition. I actually wondered if some people around my life actually had this based off of some things they had going on. But it's, I think I was just taking a look earlier, and the incidence is like 5% of the population, which means like 1 in 20 people have this. But it typically presents as asymptomatic, just like yellowing of the skin that can be brought on during a stressful event. So like whether an illness, a life stressor, who knows, maybe an emotional stressor, it can actually cause it to flare and become more noticeable.
Yeah, so exactly that. So this is a completely benign, harmless condition. There are other forms of bilirubinemia where high levels of bilirubin build up in the blood that are more toxic and more fatal. But this is a sort of a benign process that either presents really early in life when kids are jaundiced at birth or later on in life due to some type of stressor. This is the inability of your body to convert unconjugated bilirubin to conjugated bilirubin due to a deficiency of a certain enzyme inside of the liver. So anytime you get a big spike in your unconjugated bilirubin levels, through whether it's just, you know, like an illness, for example, putting a lot of stress on your blood cells, that you're not able to then transfer it quickly enough, that unconjugated bilirubin builds up and that presents as yellowing of the skin. Completely harmless and nothing that you need to do about it. Interestingly of it, it's, first of all, like you said, it's 5%. It's an inherited condition. It's quite common. And I wonder sort of if it's an adaptive condition in some ways, because they did some studies that show that people with Gilbert syndrome or with high levels of unconjugated bilirubin in the blood are less likely to have cardiovascular events. So I wonder if this was somehow inherited as some type of protective mechanism. That now just sort of presents with yellowing of the skin and eyes at this point in our history.
See, that's super possible. And it's interesting because if you look at the sickle cell anemia and malaria as well, this is that. So sickle cell anemia is a type of anemia where the red blood cells take a shape that makes them fragile. And then how that relates to malaria is malaria also is endemic to that area, but malaria actually can't thrive in individuals who have that shape of red blood cell. So it actually, although is problematic in one sense, it's actually helpful when adapting to these environmental stressor of malaria in another sense. And so who knows? Yeah, maybe at some point this was like a positive environmental evolutionary feature to have this Gilbert disease. Super interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I think from a dermatologist perspective, you know, these medical conditions that we do train on, although not always relevant, can be very helpful. For example, like anecdotally, one story I have is, you know, nurse at the side of the room is like, hey, you know, new patient complaining of severe itching, generalized itching. And as a dermatologist, like, oh no, like itchy patients, it's a very difficult thing to treat because oftentimes the skin looks completely normal. Even if you took a biopsy, the skin would be normal, but the itch can be real. So not everything is eczema, not everything is psoriasis. There is just itch and it may be neuropathic in origin. Who knows? Anyway, as soon as I open the door, I say, oh, buddy, I know exactly why you're itching. And unfortunately, this individual was just yellow, like head to toe, yellow, eyes, yellow. My main concern with something like that is always pancreatic cancer, because the pancreatic head can impinge on the outflow of the liver and cause this hyperbilirubinemia. And especially if it's asymptomatic and painless, like that's a real consideration every time. Thankfully, after the end of the workup, that was not the case for this person. It was just like a gallstone obstruction. But this sort of thing can be extremely valuable. Like as soon as we see something like even as simple as yellow eyes, our minds as doctors and dermatologists goes in 1,000 different directions. And in that case, you know, it led to an accurate diagnosis, it led to resolution of his itching. But more importantly, it led to like the diagnosis of something actually very deep within him, is in his GI tract and biliary tree in this case. But who knows, if it was cancer, it could have been a huge deal and potentially life-saving. But although that has a bad prognosis in general.
Yeah, it could be life-saving. And a lot of times the skin is a signal to something that's going on inside of the body. A lot of people wonder, why do dermatologists, or why do certain subspecialties or specialties in general, like why do they even have to go to medical school? Why do they have to do 1 year of like broad training, transitional year, whether it's internal medicine year or surgery year? Like, why do we need to do this if ultimately you're just going to be looking at the skin? But if we had not gone to medical school, like we wouldn't have this broad understanding of the body. Another classic example of liver failure is that some people can get telangiectasias or dilated blood vessels on the skin, like spider vessels, essentially, that show up on the skin. Now, if you just didn't know anything about the internal workings of the body, you might see a spider vessel and say, okay, let me just treat this. But you notice a multiple, that's another sign of liver failure. And so then you want to work that person up, like, why is their liver not processing, you know, estrogens as properly as they should? And so there is a lot of signs on the skin that actually point to things going inside of the body. And that's probably like more than half of our training is those types of conditions. The things that we talk a lot about on social media are a little bit more surface level, honestly. But a lot of the things that we actually see in the office and a lot of things that we're trained, the thousands of conditions that we're trained to learn about, are things that present as internal diseases that then have some skin manifestations. And so that's why I think dermatology is so fun and interesting and cerebral, is because a lot of times you're trying to figure out what's going on. And a lot of times that can help the patient quite a bit if you have that broader understanding.
Yeah. And we don't do a good job communicating on social media. And even in the office, it's hard because of time constraints. One thing I like to do with my patients, if they do have like an untoward rash, or like a rare rash or something that's just confusing, I like to think out loud. Like same with hair loss. What I like to do is I'll verbalize my thoughts. And so I'm like, okay, so like right now I'm running through the different, like these are the common conditions. these are the rare conditions. This is what makes this less likely, more likely. Here are the rare but dangerous things I'm looking out for. This is probably not what it is, but this is where my mind is going. And then we arrive at an answer eventually, usually. But I like to make it look as hard as it is so people appreciate all of the thought that's going into it. So they don't feel like you just like looked at them and said, oh, hey, it's this, bye. You know, I think it's valuable for them to see the work.
Yeah. Something that it helps me to think too, especially if I draw it out. I like to draw things for patients. But part of it is like, you know, thinking out loud in some ways of, you know, how are we going to tackle this? Because a lot of it's not straightforward, like cookie cutter medicine. It's like, okay, let's get the biopsy first. Then we're going to get some labs. Then we're going to talk. You know, there's a lot of different discussions, a lot of different algorithms that go off in my head. But it's not, certainly not cookie cutter. And so talking out loud, I think it's good. I think it builds trust to know what's going on in your mind.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So that's what's going on. Nothing to be concerned about. But if you do notice randomly yellowing in the eyes or jaundice in the body, that is a sign that something is going on internally. You should see a doctor for something like that. A lot of times it's not going to be this benign condition. So you want to make sure that nothing is going wrong internally. So that's a marker that you should be checked out by a doctor. All right. So let's talk about the next topic, which should be pretty quickly. Want to touch on the Michael Cera Super Bowl ad, where, you know, he's pretending to be the founder of CeraVe. This is just to me like genius marketing, ultimately. And there was so much confusion around this on social media. So I don't know if anyone watched the Super Bowl or saw the ad, but essentially there's an ad in the Super Bowl where Michael Cera is like presenting. He's pretending to be the founder of CeraVe. He presents it to a board of dermatologists, and the board of dermatologists are like, no, this was developed by dermatologists. So to kind of show the magic trick here, which is not always good for the magician, I'll kind of tell you how this all started. It's probably about 6 months ago, I want to say, maybe longer, where CeraVe decided that they were going to gear up for a Super Bowl commercial. So they had to think, okay, what are we going to do for this Super Bowl commercial? And then they had come to this meme online that Michael Cera should be the founder of CeraVe because they have, you know, CeraVe makes sense, right? So they're like, let's kind of run with this gag for the commercial. But like, how do we build the commercial around this? So they decided that a few months before the Super Bowl, they would start teasing the idea that Michael Cera is spreading propaganda that he started CeraVe. And they captured him, like paparazzi photos of him, like signing CeraVe bottles and carrying around a ton of CeraVe bottles. And then they had a bunch of creators sort of react about it. They had the news talk about it. A couple news outlets picked it up organically. They had meme pages talking about it. And then as they got closer and closer to the Super Bowl, they started to quote unquote debunk it. CeraVe started to put out content saying Michael Cera is not the founder of CeraVe. And this created even more confusion because people then started to get upset because they're saying, well, if Michael Cera is giving you this gift of publicity, why wouldn't you just accept the publicity that you're getting? You know, why are you trying to fight Michael Cera? What they didn't understand is that Michael Cera was in on this the whole entire time, and this is all part of the campaign. And then it all ended in the Super Bowl, essentially showing what was going on, that they had planned for a Super Bowl ad. They wanted everyone to think Michael Cera was like working against CeraVe to like pretend to be the founder, and that CeraVe was like fighting against it. And then the Super Bowl ultimately brought both worlds together, where CeraVe and Michael Cera were essentially in the same room. And that was the end game of it all. But even at the end, I think still some people were confused that this was all just a marketing stunt. And I think a genius marketing stunt, bringing both social media, which is where a lot of people consume their information now, and traditional media together, like they collided those two worlds, I think is the future. But probably a lot of brands won't have the budget to pull off that, though, bringing those two worlds together.
Yeah, I was just making up numbers. Like, I can't imagine how much this campaign spent. Like, this is astronomical. However, this was genius. It was so fun. See, the thing with CeraVe, we've talked about them a lot, and it really is like one of the best dermatologist recommended lines you could ever look for. And they have some of the best functional products you could ever look for. Like, but you said it yourself, this was like at the beginning, an unassuming kind of bland dermatology recommended brand for sensitive skin. And like somehow it found its way into the mainstream. But they made this fun. Like it was innovative, imaginative. And they didn't even have to like go big, like list these 20 benefits of this product. The products speak for themselves. And all it was about this is just like, okay, let's have fun with it. Just get the name out there. Because again, the products are so good. There's not a much you have to say. It's like they're effective, fragrance-free, budget-friendly, and everything else in the messaging can just be fun. And I love that. And I love being a part of stuff like that.
Well, the genius of it all was that the marketing message was very simple. Dermatologists developed CeraVe, right? Like that's what they wanted people to take away from that, is that this is like a trusted dermatologist brand. And because they have such a large retail footprint, because this wouldn't work for every brand. Like if you sold, like for my brand, like we're only going to sell it online at first. This would do pretty much close to nothing for a brand like that. I mean, you would get some lift, but what it does for people is it raises massive awareness for the brand. So the people who are not skincare enthusiasts, they walk into Target and they're like, oh, I need a new cleanser. And they're like, oh, obviously CeraVe, it's developed by dermatologists. Like they don't need to know, people don't need to know much more than that to make a decision on like what cleanser, moisturizer, sunscreen they want to pick up next. It just becomes a trusted brand in their mind. So for them, the big win is just awareness of the name and positioning it as a dermatologist developed brand, which is genius because it's such a simple marketing message. And then it gets people wondering like, what does the Sera and CeraVe stand for? And they're like, oh, well, ceramide. So I mean, I think that it's a very clear and easy marketing message and something that will lead to a big uplift of in-store purchases. That's my opinion. But I guess we'll kind of see on the back end how successful that was as a campaign financially for them. But I think it was genius. It was fun to be part of because I was in the Situation Room during the Super Bowl ad while it was airing. So I got to see the team at CeraVe experience the ad for the first time. Cool. Which was super cool because they had put so much effort into this and they're very nervous that it would be successful. So watching that team, you know, there's like 30 of them, like kind of celebrate the commercial going live finally was really cool to just see and be a part of.
Nice. That's so cool. Yeah, that's a great experience. I don't know. I love it. It's one of the favorite things I've ever been a part of. I didn't even play a big part. I had a tiny little part, but it was just fun to watch it roll out.
Yeah, no, it's very, very cool. That pretty much wraps up our episode. A super easy kind of life update, talking a little bit about jaundice, which is dermatology related, I would argue, and the Super Bowl ad of the future. We'll see you all next week.
Yeah, next week we will be bringing this to you. This will be fun. We're going to do this more often. We'll actually be going live, or not live. We'll be doing podcasts from our remote traveling areas. It's the only way to make this work, but honestly, I think it's going to be even better. Because everything is going to be kind of real time, like a car drives by, we get hit with like a piece of food flying off the street. Who knows? But it's going to be a lot of fun. Next week, we will be in San Diego at the AAD, and we'll be bringing you an episode from there. So look out for that.
All right. We'll see you at a different location next time. We'll actually be together for this. We have to figure out how we're going to set this up. We bought mics to be mobile so that we could have good audio while on the move. So look forward to our On the Road from the American Academy of Dermatology annual meeting. It's going to be a spicy meeting because there's a lot of drama at the AAD. I wouldn't even call it drama. It's actually very, very upsetting. And it was actually covered by Allure. Allure and Bloomberg News just covered what's going on at the American Academy of Dermatology. So we will hopefully give you an update on how that all turns out. So stay tuned for that.
All right. Well, we will see you all there.
All right. See ya.